what you, but if it's, you know, 6 o'clock in Illinois and it's 6 o'clock in Colorado, the sun's been down for 2 hours already. So to try and even it out, they got them on the mountain time and it moves everything. It works. You do not want to be on. I've hated this idea. I don't know why we're wasting money on this
idea. I would say you're so angry about this. I didn't expect such a...
It's a stupid waste of money. Why are we even talking about this?
Because certain people, I mean, I get it. That's the thing. When I read, I mean,
because
I'm
certain
not,
people
I'm neither,
couldn't get real jobs.
I'm neither here nor there about it. I mean,
they couldn't
change
get real
the time
jobs.
Zone, don't change the time zone. I don't really care. I have always thought it was interesting that New England, Massachusetts particularly, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine particularly, kind of jet out more than the rest of the country. If you look at a map, like, you know, we're more to the right. I mean, how much, basically, it would make daylight, the only thing that it would really change is that it would make daylight savings time obsolete for us. We just wouldn't do daylight savings time anymore. That's based on the
but
latest.
Everybody else around us would. So for 6 months of the year, you go to New York City and it's an hour later. That's not, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Have you tried getting a nighttime flight to New York City? It's impossible to begin with. Now we're going to throw an hour time change into things? No.
It'll be so fun and confusing, D.
Hate it. Heather Lind.
Heather Lind. Oh, I knew this. I read about this. Come on, Jay. Looking through my research. Nope, gone completely.
She's the actress, formerly on the AMC series Turn, who accused President George Herbert Walker Bush,
yes, HW,
of sexually assaulting her at a photo opportunity with her fellow cast members, the Secret Service, and Barbara Bush in attendance. Let me tell you what 42 ain't doing. 42 ain't molesting women with the Secret Service and Barbara Bush in the room. Should I mention that it is a since-deleted Instagram post?
Oh, how fascinating.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, obviously, as we spoke about last week, I participated in the Me Too movement. I think that a lot of this is very valid, but as is with, I think, particularly recently, with many issues in our country, a lot of people are kind of taking it and running with it a little too far over the line, in that it's become everything. Isn't like he probably put his arm around her or something, and that was sexual assault. And it was, I mean, Derek, you put your arm around me and you're my friend. It's a, you know, you're my friend. You're putting your arm around me. It's a sign of being nice and whatever. You don't like squeeze my boob while you're doing it.
No.
I got into something. I kind of learned the hard way to just stop commenting on people's Facebook posts this past week, because I got into something with an issue of a photo that was released on Instagram, and I was like, why are we turning this into something that it isn't? And I got jumped. I had my throat jumped down by about 80 strangers as a result of like 4 comments on Facebook. But it is, and I just basically said, I'm not even going to comment on this anymore. Like, this is getting stupid. And you guys can just be angry all on your own. I'll leave you be. But this is one of those situations where I feel like people, once something becomes an issue in the spotlight, a lot of times people will kind of just look for it anywhere, especially if it's something that's going to get them attention, something that's going to make everyone be like, oh, look at this person. This is an issue I've been hearing about, and this person's talking about it, so I should pay attention to her. Like, this is the way I feel about this story.
So, breaking from the Daily News, former President George H.W. Bush admits to, on occasion, patting women on the rear. and he said it is, quote, intended to be a good-natured manner. President Bush, former President Bush is,
oh my God,
93 years old. And can I tell you, young ladies, 65, 75, 85 years ago, it was not uncommon to pat a woman on the rear as a form of greeting or affection.
And that's, I'm not trying to defend, like,
Yes, like, you have a right to not be touched.
Like 35-year-olds don't do that. But at the same time, I mean, I work, my day job is at a golf club with a bunch of 70 to 90-year-old men who are regulars. And they never do anything super inappropriate. But they do, you know, it's the very, what's that television show that takes takes place in the 50s that everyone always tells me to watch?
Leave It to Beaver.
No, the current one.
Mad Men?
Mad Men.
It's you should watch Leave It to Beaver instead of Mad Men. But
I actually have watched Leave It to Beaver. I have not watched Mad Men.
Great show.
I was just going to do the theme song, but the Andrew Griffith show came into my head.
Yeah.
But it's the same. I'm not defending. I don't think that you should defend. Like, it's not cool to pat a girl on the butt.
No.
But when it's an 80-year-old man and it's just... It's so hard to...
I understand that you have a right to not be touched. I understand that you have the right to own your story. Accusing I think this has happened 3 years ago. All right. Accusing a 90-year-old of sexual assault because he patted you on the butt is not what we're talking about here. That's not sexual assault. Okay. It may have made you uncomfortable. You may have preferred that George Bush ask you before he touches your behind. But in the era where he grew up, believe it or not, it was a pretty common thing to do.
There is something to be said for just, it's like when my grandfather lived to be in his late 80s, and he, for lack of a more PC way of putting it, he used some derogatory terms for people who were not Irish Catholic. And while it bothered my family, and it particularly bothered me, bothered our whole family, it was also to the point where, especially, I mean, we've all seen, for the past decade, we've looked at videos, public appearances by George H.W. Yes, everything starts to go. And maybe he's, you know, I'm not saying he has Alzheimer's, I'm not saying he has dementia, but I'm saying, like, everything just starts to kind of pan down. And I'm not saying it's okay to grab, like, this is...
As I said last week, we need a definition of what sexual assault is.
Reading from CNN, former President George H.W. Bush has responded after an actress alleged that he touched her inappropriately while he was sitting in his wheelchair during a photo op.
Yeah, with the Secret Service and his wife.
Yeah, like, it...
You were in no danger from the former president, Heather Lind.
Yeah, and I'm not saying everyone can go around grabbing people's butts, and that being elderly and being a little, you know, on the decline mentally is an excuse. But at the same time, it's one of those, like I was just saying before, it's one of those things where you're like, what are you really, like, is this really worth making a big to-do about?
I like the Secret Service's response, because apparently one of the agents said, yeah, you shouldn't have stood there. Well, yeah, there's your answer.
Yeah. She looks like Leighton Meester, by the way. It's weird. That's who I thought it was when I first looked at her. Leighton Meester's hotter, though.
Hopefully she's getting the counseling she needs from that traumatic experience.
Right? Eminem, New Zealand.
Oh, God, I heard about this. And then I heard another story about New Zealand today that erased it from me. Eminem, he's in New Zealand.
No.
He's not.
No.
I heard some.
He's very specifically not in New Zealand.
Did they? I thought they let him back in.
Oh no, he wasn't like not allowed to go to New Zealand. But a New Zealand political party breached copyright by using a song similar to Eminem's "Lose Yourself."
That's right. He sued and won.
Yeah, in his campaign ads. And today a high court judge ordered the Conservative National Party to pay Eminem and his publisher around $415,000 American dollars plus interest. And I loved reading about this story because the case featured odd moments such as, you know, for those of you who aren't familiar, in New Zealand, Australia, England, in a lot of other English-speaking countries, there's a very official garb that lawyers and judges, and like you think the way our judges dress.
Oh, they still got the robes and the fezziwigs.
Oh, yeah. But So there's all these gown lawyers listening very studiously to the very profane rap lyrics of Eminem.
Probably tapping their toes.
And it's just so funny. And Eminem's collaborator, Jeff Bass, actually was the only one involved that flew in from Detroit to New Zealand to present the opening riff to, which he wrote to definitely just, you know, completely say, like, you stole this from us. The best part of this, which I think is so insane, is that the National Party president said in a statement that he was disappointed with the ruling and said the party purchased the music in good faith from an Australia-based library that said that they had bought it from a U.S. supplier. The National Party, the ad that they ran, which and successfully, it was a successful 2014 election campaign, the song that they purchased was entitled Eminem-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, a little too Eminem-esque.
Yeah, just slightly. But that's what Jeff Bass actually said. It was, he was infuriated because they said that the Lose Yourself chords, they said it wasn't original because those chords are also used in other songs. That's why they said that the riff wasn't original. Yeah. And he just apparently lost it on New Zealand.
Yeah,
but
well,
it paid off handsomely.
Rightfully so. The courts have proven that you can own the chord progressions. Not the chords themselves, but the riffs.
Just ask Robin Thicke.
Yep, you can own them riffs.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Glore.
Has a super ugly name.
Glore. It's a good Halloween name. Glore.
That's all I can get from that. I have no idea.
Coming soon, you'll be able to watch the CBS Evening News with Jeff Glore. Because he's been named the new anchor. And will be starting before the end of this year. He is 42 years old and a 10-year veteran of the network. Who's been doing national reporting. So, new anchor. Expect that this is going to happen either during the second or third week of November or immediately after. Because that's when sweeps period happens. And nothing gets people to tune into your newscast like throwing a new anchor on the air.
Whose name is Glore.
The CBS Evening News with Jeff Glore.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm Jeff Glore. This is news. We're all going to die.
Put your kids to bed for this
Glore.
One. Bra-ta-ta-ta. Bruce Paddock.
He is the older brother of Las Vegas shooter. I forget his Stephen Paddock. And was picked up today at the retirement home where he lives and charged with child pornography.
Tis true.
Great family, the Paddocks.
Oh,
yeah. Salt of the earth people.
Really fantastic. Well, apparently this stems from a felony complaint from 2014, but that was based on the 600 images that they found inside a place he was squatting. But they couldn't find him. But ironically, after his brother's crime, that's what was able to make them figure out where he was.
Yeah, it's going to kind of put a focus on you. And
then that's how they get a warrant.
Hidden stash of child porn. Bad look.
I bet their parents are so proud looking up from hell.
Yeah. Yep. Lord and Taylor.
They're probably closing.
No.
Usually, whenever you bring up any sort of department store that I went to as a child and preteen, it's because they're closing.
Not that bad yet, but
yet being the operative word.
The Hudson Bay Company, which owns Lord & Taylor, has announced that it is going to sell the Fifth Avenue location to a company called WeWork.com. That basically leases out office space and claims to be an incubator. It's one of these hippy-dippy millennial-run companies.
So they're going to take. Pretty soon there's going to be nowhere to go.
So they're going to take the Fifth Avenue store, and they're going to reconfigure it so that Lord & Taylor, they're going to rent it back. So they're going to sell the building, rent some space back, and Lord & Taylor is going to have a much, much smaller footprint in that building than it currently does. And all of the other levels are going to go to WeWork. There is also some rumors floating around that they want to sell the iconic Saks Fifth Avenue location.
Don't you dare.
This is what's
Lord
happening.
Lord and Taylor.
So Here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not them. It's Hudson Bay. They're keeping Macy's.
Now even more so, I have to make sure to get to New York this holiday season. Because that's like, that's the thing. That's what's killing me about, somebody posted about how we're, it's like enough with the technology. It's kind of ruining being a human being. Someone posted that yesterday. Ironically, someone posted that yesterday. But that's a perfect example of it. It's like part of the charm of New York, of society in general, is being able to just walk up the street and look at the store windows at Christmas time and don't dare take socks.
It will not happen. The Lord and Taylor move.
I mean, Macy's is the most important for Christmas, I will say.
Macy's is a disaster. Have you been in there at Christmas? You can't move.
Oh, no. I just like to walk by.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? I'm an intelligent person. I don't go inside Macy's after Thanksgiving.
Hudson Bay has said they're keeping that store no matter what. They're not going to sell that.
Oh, someone would set whatever Hudson Bay's headquarters is on fire if they get rid of that store.
If Macy's goes under, which is not beyond the realm of possibility, then maybe we'd see a situation where Saks and Lord & Taylor got moved into that building.
Thanks, Amazon.
But the good news for those of you who like Christmas in New York is that Lord & Taylor will not be making any changes until after the Christmas season.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I am getting on down there.
I've already started making travel plans. I'm going because this is going to be the last chance to go down and experience that store as it has been for more than a century.
Yeah. I mean, that used to be a routine when I was a kid. We used to go down just to look at the storefronts because they're always awesome.
Yeah.
And luckily, I currently happen to be related to a few people that live there.
Fifth Avenue at Christmas is amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Oh my God. It's quintessential Macaulay Culkin style New York Christmas.
All right. You got one more.
I got one more.
Yeah.
Louisiana Sheriff.
Louisiana Sheriff. Mm-hmm. This is not Joe Arpaio. Who was not being pardoned or having his record expunged, or whatever that is. Louisiana Sheriff. This isn't the serial killer in Tampa Bay.
Mm-mm.
No idea.
Well, according to a federal lawsuit that was filed yesterday, a Louisiana man says that a sheriff's office withdrew a job offer after finding out that he has HIV. William Liam Pierce said he was told in 2012 that he'd be hired as an Iberia Parish Sheriff's Deputy, subject to a medical examination. The offer was rescinded after the exam found he is healthy, but has HIV. He said he's known that he had the virus that can cause AIDS since 2003, but is extremely healthy, taking his medication and regularly following up with his doctor. The lawsuit said the virus doesn't create significant risk for Pierce or anyone he encounters as a police officer, and the Americans with Disabilities Act protects him from discrimination.
That's an interesting question, because if you're involved in a physical way with a suspect and he gets cut and the suspect gets cut, I mean, we went through this whole thing in the NBA years
Magic,
ago.
Yeah.
And they basically said, as far as contact sports are concerned, we're okay. So,
but it would have to be such a specific set of circumstances that, and he's being represented by Lambs Legal, which is, they're basically like the official, they're the official legal counsel for civil rights of LGBTQ and HIV positive
people. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with them. And by the way, I'm not saying this.
I know you are. I'm just telling our listeners.
I'm not saying this in the sense of I don't think he should have the job. I'm trying to figure out what your legal rationale for denying him the job would be and whether or not that might stand in a court of law.
Well, that's the thing. Is particularly, I mean, it goes directly against laws that, I mean, their argument is like it's not the 1980s.
Yeah.
The stigma is not attached to HIV as much as it once was. It's actually a lot harder to get than people try to make it out to be. It actually takes a couple exposures to HIV to actually contract it.
You can have a decent amount of anal sex before you have to worry.
Okay, that's one way of putting it.
Am I minimizing? Okay.
But legitimately, like you can be exposed to it and be totally, you can be exposed to it multiple times and be
Correct.
Totally fine.
Correct.
But on top of that, if you look into this, this really kind of broke my heart, because if you look into his background, he was a paramedic, an EMT teacher, and an HIV awareness instructor in Cleveland. And how he found himself in Louisiana was because during Hurricane Katrina in 2007, he came down in 2008, he came down to Louisiana to help with the relief effort and volunteered. And that's how he ended up staying there, just because he fell in love with it there. And this is someone who, it seems unfair and unfortunate to have someone who is so committed to serving the community, and especially someone who, in a way, has a very unique perspective in terms of what it's like to have something, not that, like I said, he's extremely healthy, but to have something that could potentially be debilitating, or have something that could hold you back, and wanting to help other people
you,
like it.
I guarantee you, whoever made this decision made it out of a liability concern. That if in some situation...
It was Sheriff Louis Acall and Captains Ryan Turner and Ricky Boudreau.
That if this police officer infects a member of the public as part of his regular duties, we're going to have all kinds of lawsuits coming at us, and why didn't you tell us, and on and on and on. That, I believe, is where this is coming from.
Oh, it's absolutely where it's coming from, but it's completely unfounded with the research and with the evidence of how HIV is transmitted. It makes me think of, do you remember Ryan White?
Yes.
It makes me think of the Ryan White story, where everyone was like,
hug him, I'll get AIDS.
Yeah, they got him booted out of his school because he had AIDS from a blood transfusion.
But that was also Indiana, where Jesus walks tall in the corn.
I mean, you think in Louisiana, Jesus wades through the bayou.
You got some of that going on down there. But I guarantee you that this is somebody, you know, someone saying, oh, no, this is a big liability risk. We can't do this. I don't know that I've heard of a case like this being litigated. And it will be interesting
Haven't
to see.
Have you ever seen Philadelphia?
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a different situation, because
as a lawyer, I know. As a
it's
lawyer,
established.
It's not likely that you're going to get in some sort of physical altercation with somebody.
Correct. It's established in a lot of lines of work that you cannot discriminate against people with HIV. And this guy was a first responder in Ohio.
Yeah.
So you're interacting with the public, and you're dealing with people who are bleeding all the time.
But that was part of the case that they brought up, actually, is the fact that he had been an EMT in Ohio. Like I said, he got diagnosed in 2003. He had been an EMT in Ohio for 5 years with absolutely no incident. And that's, you know, I mean, EMTs, I have a couple friends who are EMTs.
You're covered in blood all day.
I would say, and
hope you like blood.
They get stabbed randomly sometimes. Yeah. Like, weird stuff happens. And the fact, I mean, if anything, he's a great example of how difficult it is to transmit HIV without sexual contact or, I'm glad that I can't think of the word, because, hey, Mom, I've never injected drugs. Intravenous.
Whatever. I should think they'd want this guy on the force, because he'd be the one that could pat down the people who might have needles on them.
Yeah, exactly. And be like, ha ha.
Yeah, it's like, I already have the HIV.
Yeah, I already have it. Whatever.
I'll pat the guy down. All right, last one for you. Kellogg's.
Is this the racist cereal box?
Yes.
Why was it Corn Pops?
It's Corn Pops.
Yeah.
Why is the only brown Corn Pop on the back of the box washing the floors? That is the question that has been asked of the Kellogg's people. After who was it? I am looking for the name here. Saladin Ahmed, who is a writer and a comic book. He works on Marvel Comics' Black Bolt series and has written some novels. Sent a tweet to Kellogg's after he noticed his son staring at the back of the box of Corn Pops, which shows a bunch of Corn Pops hanging out in the mall. And all the Corn Pops are the same shade of yellow, except for one brown one who is pushing the floor waxer. And I think Mr. Ahmed brings up a very valid point against the cereal people. The cereal people did a bad thing here. And the cereal people have been falling all over themselves to apologize. And they say that new artwork will be coming out soon. This is a little bit like, I don't know if you saw this or not. A couple of years ago, the Red Cross put out this poster about pool safety. And it showed an illustration. It was a cartoon of a bunch of kids at the pool. All of the white kids were doing what you're supposed to do at the pool. And all of the black kids were doing what you're not supposed to do at the pool.
Oh, that's messed up.
And it's just so obvious. Anyway, I mean, I don't know how stuff like this actually gets in front of the public.
This is, okay, so that and this is definitely, this is kind of an example of what I was talking about before, though, where this is absolutely inappropriate. I'm looking at the image right now. Yeah. It's like, yeah, man.
It's like, why is the one brown corn pop
literally
mopping the floor?
This, there's like no way this is a mistake. But, oh, God, I promised myself I wouldn't bring this up. But how I got in trouble on Facebook this past week was, I don't know if you saw the picture of the Puritan teacher that comes into classrooms and dresses up kids in clothes.
No, I generally stay off of Facebook if I can.
This was in the news. But it was something that was completely innocent, and everyone called this poor teacher a racist for posting this picture of this little girl because they were using leading strings, you know what those are?
Yeah.
Something like that. But the little girl who was playing the baby was black. And they were all like, this is, you're pointing to slavery. I was like, no.
No, that's historically accurate.
You're not.
Yeah.
And what are you supposed to tell her? And that's why I said, I was like, it's actually kind of racist to say it's slavery because they're just, the fact that the teacher, it didn't even occur to the teacher is saying, you know, no, this isn't a big deal.
Thank you for turning this innocent child into a prop for your propaganda.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I said and got jumped.
Oh,
my throat jumped down.
Yeah.
Thank you, random people who decided to call me a dumbass and a bitch.
People don't want to learn on Facebook. They just want to be right.
But that's the thing. That's what's so funny about this is this. That's what I was trying to say is like, if it's actually blatantly racist, this is stupid. Like, this is insane. And that commercial that you just described, same thing.
The pool safety.
Where it's like, come on, like, this is a third grader trying to have fun with their classmates and her teacher wanted to show them having fun. Like, We're not going to get anywhere if we keep, and not just with racism, but with the same thing, like I was saying, with sexism, with everything. None of us are going to move on and just be happy together if we keep being like, screw you for this. Ah!
I will say that graphic designers and illustrators are a devious bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And the
just
fact,
ask the people who illustrated the Disney movie.
And the fact that this guy works in the comic book industry means that he knows that.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a feeling that somebody stuck that in there in the illustration just to see if it would be noticed.
Just to go, nah, nah, nah,
just to see if anyone's paying attention upstairs and nobody was.
Oh, by the way, I'll stop talking about it. Do you know my favorite comment before I stopped reading them was just like, this is a waste of my time was? No one cares about your opinion, Shay.
Then why are you subscribed to my feed?
I was going
to
say, then why are you on my, why are you on my feed? And why do I have a spot on a radio show?
Yeah.
Hi, listeners. I love you.
Yeah. You can just unfriend that person right now. 855-915-9636. When we come back, the ridiculous lengths that some places are going to get some sweet, sweet Jeff Bezos
lovin'. I can't wait to talk about this.
It is the battle for Amazon HQ2, and I will tell you how to guarantee that your city gets the new Amazon headquarters right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Yeah. Because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In life for free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I
91.5
want.
WMFO Medford. You're listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, the wonderful and fantastic and blah, 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 Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we would absolutely love to hear from you. It's going to be 855-915-9636. And currently, our big topic for tonight, we are discussing the new Amazon headquarters.
HQ2.
HQ2, which is the cheesiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
HQ2.
And the various bids to try to have it be in so
Jeff
many
Glore.
Places.
HQ2.
Hardcore.
Brought to you by Jeff Glore. Yeah. So what's at stake here is 50,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And five,
and just a huge stimulation to whatever place it ends up economy.
And $5 billion worth of capital investment just to build the thing, which, of course, sets Mayamati's heart aflutter.
Yeah, and Amazon has said, like, this is huge. They've received 238 proposals, and that's in 54 states, provinces, districts, and territories in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And the only states in the United States not to submit proposals were Montana, both Dakotas, Wyoming, and Arkansas, which, like, yeah, how are you going to get Amazon to go there?
You missed one in there, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it was Montana, both Dakotas. There were a couple. There were seven states.
Seven? I thought it was only five from the research I did.
It was Montana, North and South Dakota. They were like, nope, we don't like.
Yeah, like, we know you're not coming here.
We don't like your fancy city ways out here in the West.
We just have those dudes carved into stone, and that's all we need.
Hawaii, which Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, Hawaii and Alaska.
Kind of goes without saying.
I'm sorry, it's the contiguous.
Wyoming.
Yes, I got that one.
Arkansas.
I got that one.
And Vermont.
Oh, Vermont.
Vermont did not.
I thought they had one.
Vermont does not want Amazon coming in.
That's fair. They're too busy smoking pot and eating maple candy.
They don't want actual, like,
stuff.
Big enterprise coming in and messing with all of their organic kale farms and organic cheese farms and organic knit sweater farms and everything else that they're doing up there. Vermont is where people who have made a lot of money, either in business or on Wall Street, go to retire.
And be like, I don't want the business or Wall Street thing anymore.
Right.
Vermont's dope, though. I went to Burlington for a show like 2 months ago. It was awesome.
But it's like, it's all people in their 50s who are like running farms or running a bar.
And wearing Birkenstocks and hemp stuff.
Yeah, or running a little shop or doing whatever, you know. Yeah.
Lots of like super artsy or like, you made this, didn't you, type shots.
I made my millions. Now I'm going to go live in the country.
Leave me alone.
They don't want Jeff Bezos hanging around, and I don't blame them. So, Amazon had some fairly specific requirements
for this,
which not every town or city that bid.
Which I wouldn't say, which is part of why the states we mentioned didn't even bother.
Yeah. Arkansas, you'll understand why they're disqualified in a moment. A city of more than 1 million people, mm-hmm. a lot of cities that applied don't meet that threshold. With an international airport, it just has to be nearby,
doesn't have to be in that city.
Mass transit, quality higher education, by Arkansas, an educated workforce, by Arkansas, and a solid business climate. I don't know how Massachusetts is doing good until you get to the last requirement, which is the solid business climate.
I was going to say Boston is being considered because of our colleges, because of Logan, and that we have nonstop flights to both Seattle and D.C., and that it's a lower cost of living than some of the other cities, such as Chicago, which is also a big front runner. But yeah, that's where we kind of start to is the business acumen.
So some of these cities and towns got a little
creative.
A little creative in what they did.
I think I've got a couple of favorites. The mayor of Kansas City bought and reviewed 1,000 products on Amazon to make a case for his city.
Very nice.
Talk about investing, that's just like,
did he buy those with taxpayer
monetarily
money?
Monetarily kissing ass. My favorite one, as I alluded to earlier in the show, was that Tucson, Arizona thought that a bribe in the form of a 21-foot saguaro cactus sent to Bezos was going to sway him. And my favorite part is that he actually rejected it and sent it back.
Yeah.
He was like, I can't accept gifts, but sweet cactus, man. Why did you send me a giant cactus?
Yeah, it's like, what?
And if anything, that's going to sway you away from wanting one of your headquarters there. It's like, oh, yeah, this is your best plant. You know how, you know, in Seattle, it's like a rainforest and everything's lush and beautiful. You really think that that's going to bring me in?
Here's your bribe. It's a 21-foot cactus. Like, it's the worst bribe ever. It is the worst bribe ever. We had the city in Georgia.
Oh, yes.
That said it would unincorporate this big patch of land and rename it Amazon. If they got the winning bid.
Jeff Bezos would be its mayor for life. That was the other important thing about that. And the people in, people in Stonecrest actually voted to do this. They were like, let's hop on board. No, my other favorite one was the Permanente Brothers Sandwich Company would be affected if the HQ2 was moved to Pittsburgh. And they actually announced last week that if they did, they would give a free sandwich to every Amazon employee upon arriving in Pittsburgh, which the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette calculated would cost $350,000 to fulfill.
And I don't think Amazon is looking to make its employees fat on Permanente Brothers sandwiches.
I was going to say, they're not sitting there being like, you know what will make this happen? Sandwiches. Because God knows we can't afford those.
Yeah, I don't think that's where they were going with this at all.
Oh, I also, one more before we get to the big, our fun neighbor to the north. My favorite one, other than that, was Charlotte, North Carolina, which if you've never been there, lovely city. But the mayor decided to declare a new Amazon-themed holiday. Yes.
And what, is it going to be Amazon Day, or are we all getting...
CLT is Prime Day.
So we're all getting the day off?
I guess. That's the thing, is I don't even understand.
That could be fun.
I don't know. It's like the only thing that was released. That's the thing, is I'm like, okay, so it's Amazon Day. Like, it sounds, the way that they're wording it, it sounds like it's, and again, not disrespecting things like Martin Luther King Day or Veterans Day, but it's like that, where it's just like, you don't really do anything. It's just like a day of observation for Amazon.
Yeah.
And she would commend its observance to all of the citizens. But the real big, I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about, Derek.
Well, there was one in here that I thought was cute. If I can actually get this thing to load. And this is now telling me that I know I have an internet connection. I'm on the internets. All right. This isn't going to load right now. So let me keep fighting with this for a minute.
I can tell you another one of the ones I like while you're fighting.
No. New Hampshire.
Yes.
Our neighbors to the north. Pretty much just went for straight up to hell with the people to the south.
Yeah.
And in their bid, spelled out, they're basically trying to get people to move to Derry, which is near the Manchester airport, which I guess kind of barely qualifies as an international airport.
Well, and it is, I mean, to be fair, not defending what they said, but to be fair... Derry is still only, you know, perhaps depending on traffic, 45 minutes to an hour and a half outside of Logan. So theoretically, it's still proximal to an international airport.
So here's what they said.
It's adorable.
To basically, you know, take the bloom off of the Massachusetts bid, because Massachusetts is widely believed to be a strong contender in this.
Oh, yeah.
New Hampshire in their proposal said this, quote, choose Boston, and next year when you leave your tiny $4,000 a month apartment, only to sit in 2 hours of traffic trying to make your way to an overburdened airport, you'll be wishing you were in New Hampshire. That was their...
Boston is known for congested, decaying roads and overcrowded subways.
Yeah.
Oh, and they also jabbed us for not getting the Olympics. It's like, girl, we didn't want the Olympics. By the way, New Hampshire, you're not allowed to root for our baseball team anymore. But yeah, it is. It is funny, like, just looking at, I mean, I've been reading all of these different, I picked out my favorite ones, but I've read, I don't know how many of these proposals, or at least, you know, the kind of sound bites, bits from these proposals. And it is interesting just to see the various tactics that people approach this from. Like New Jersey went the route of tax breaks, saying that there'd be $7 billion in potential credits against the state and city taxes if Amazon went to Newark, which is a terrifying concept, because I don't know if you've been to Newark, but though I do appreciate you flying me to Europe, Newark Airport. That's about the only nice thing I have to say about you. And then we have Birmingham, Alabama. They set up giant replicas of the Amazon dash buttons around the city for people to press. And then there were more than 600 like pre-generated tweets that were sent to the company every time a citizen pressed one of those buttons, with things such as, Amazon, we get 100% match on Bumble. Want to go on a date?
Yeah.
And we are Chipotle, and these other cities are Taco Bell, Amazon. Like, it's such a... I mean, every single one, wow. As I said, it's a very eclectic group of approaches to trying to win this bid. But all of them are so American in the grossest way. Like, yeah. In the most, like, this is what we've come to kind of way.
Now, none of these plans that anybody has come up with is going to work. None of them.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because Amazon is going to make its decision based on a number of factors. And there is one factor that overrides everything else. So if you really want Amazon HQ2, there's a simple way to get it. Here's what you need to do. This is where all these cities went wrong. And this is what they should have done in the first place. You call up Washington, D.C. You get a hold of your senator, whether it's Ed Markey or Elizabeth Warren, and you say to them, I want you to open an investigation into Amazon's monopolistic practices. Set up a committee. Let's have a full-on investigation. Let's talk about breaking up Amazon. Because if you do this...
So straight blackmail and bribery.
If you do this, Amazon is going to come back and say, how do we get this senator to leave us alone? Well, if we put 50,000 jobs in his district, I have a feeling the committee goes away. That's the way you do it, kids. That's how you get Amazon HQ2. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. As I promised when I was filling in for Chris Earle earlier tonight, a little bit more of Somerville favorite son, Bobby Boris Pickett, played the monster rap back during the Halloween show earlier tonight. Mm-hmm. This is his 1985 sequel to the monster rap. And I think one of the great Halloween, one of the great forgotten and underappreciated Halloween songs of all time. We'll be back with our favorite things and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Grown used to eerie sights. I created a monster who could dance and walk, but I couldn't teach him how to talk. My faithful assistant, that hunchback fool who wastes his time in DJ school, says,
how'd you get here? Don't be a sap. Deep degrees of the monster rap.
You've gotta shock the body. Shock the body, body. Shock the body. Shock the body, body. Shock the body. Shock the body, body. Shock. Igor, you idiot.
Yes, master.
Chords.
Yes, master.
Cause I just want to hear him speak. And tonight the storm will reach its peak. Connect electrodes, turn on the power. We operate within the hour. The kites went up without a hitch. Then Igor screamed,
I'll pull the switch.
The boat came down, his head went zap. Now he's doing the monster rap. Shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock. I've given you a voice, now rap for daddy.
Well, I shot a million bolts into my brain, now I'm ready to rap like a runaway train. If you get in my way, we're bound to clash, cause I'm the same dude that did the monster mash.
That's my boy.
Shock my body, body.
So you invited the zombies, creeps and ghouls, and turned them into rapping fools. Drac woke up from his nap, said, teach me how to monster rap. You gotta shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock. Igor, you fool.
Yes, master.
He's breaking loose. We've reached a goal undreamed of by science. Listen, he's going to rap again.
I got bolts in my neck, a flat top head. I'm 8 feet tall and I'm back from the dead. You see, I can bring rappers down to tears, cause I've been monster rapping for 100 years. They all light up the torches, they're chasing through the town. They do everything, trying to track me down. But they can't keep up, they can't compete, cause I got to rap with a monster beat. You see, north, east, west and south, I'm the cat they call Monster Mouth. When I party rap, I control the room. I can get the werewolves howling at the moon. You see, I'm big and bad, scarred and mean. I'm the cool rain child of Dr. Frankenstein. I said a rap, back, another zap. Can't stop the rapping now.
He won't stop rapping. Strap him down, Igor. He must be heavily sedated.
Yes, master.
Oh, shut up.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
WMFO Medford. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. And we're about to wrap up the show, but before we do, we want to let you know what we think the coolest thing that happened in the past week or is going to happen this week is. And I'm going to do a little shameless plug-in. This Friday and Saturday, I am so pumped to be doing a spot at Nick's Comedy Stop in the Theater District. I'll be with the hilarious Bethany Van Delft and Lamont Price.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We'll see that.
I was
going
to say, not to be missed. Both Friday and Saturday. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. I'm also working the door, filling in. So if you mention The Big Picture, you won't get a discount. But, you know, maybe I'll, like, hug you or high-five you or something. So, you know, I'm a good hugger. It's worth it.
She is a good hugger. I can vouch for that.
Yeah. If you weigh less than 200 pounds, I will lift you up off your feet. So, good for
I've been told that I hug in a sexually assaulting kind of way.
You do.
Quick update.
But, like, in a way that doesn't really scare you too much.
I wanted to pull this up during the last segment, and the computer went down, so I couldn't do it. But I've got it now. In England, they bet on everything. And there is a website. You can't place bets from the United States, but in England you can bet on this. There's a website called PaddyPower.com, which is one of these online betting sites, and they're actually running odds on where the Amazon HQ2 is going to be. your leader
winning
right now is Atlanta, 3-1 favorite.
That's actually what I think too.
Austin, Texas.
I would say Atlanta or Austin is what I'm leaning towards as being making the most sense.
And there's actually a tie for second place. Austin, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts.
Really?
Yep, we are tied with Austin. So, and we've actually moved up in the last day or so. Toronto is number 4, 12-1 odds. Washington, D.C., 14-1. They are tied with Portland, Oregon, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia comes in at 16-1. So,
I don't see Portland too
Boston.
Close to Seattle.
Boston. Mayamati. Can't get enough of them union jobs. I did not know that this existed until yesterday, and I don't know why nobody told me about this. Kentucky Fried Chicken has an online merch store. Did you know this?
That's...
There is a Kentucky Fried Chicken...
Why?
It is at kfclimited.com. That's KFC, spell out the word limited.com.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that, because I'm sure this is a really awesome website.
Almost all of this stuff is sold out. They still got a couple of t-shirts available. I am very disappointed in this, because among the things that they had for sale, they had the Halloween Colonel Sanders costume. Which included
that actually is pretty dope. I was going to say, like, why would you want anything?
Which included the Harlan Sanders mask and then, like, a vinyl apron that looks like his suit.
Okay, I'm on board with KFC Limited now.
Okay. Some of the other items that they had, you could still get this yesterday. It may not be sold out yet. This is the Dream Colonel pillowcase. And this is a pillowcase. They've still got a few of these left, which has Colonel Sanders' head printed on one side of it, so that when you go to sleep at night, you can gaze into the eyes of Colonel Sanders, and he can gaze back at
you. Did you say that's sold out?
No, there's still a few of these left.
Hey, Derek, you know, my birthday is in like 7 months. I like early presents.
You know what's sold out that I really would have bought is the fried chicken socks. available in tan or red.
Oh, that sounds like a Krista Weiss scoop up.
They had some great t-shirts in here. So KFClimited.com.
How did they not come out with this sooner? At first, it was like, what a dumb idea. But now that you're saying what they actually have, it's kind of brilliant.
I'm like, I would have bought this Halloween costume.
Can you buy Norm MacDonald or Jim Gaffigan? Because in that case, I am all over it.
No, I think all this stuff is meant to look like the original Colonel and meant to be the original Colonel. But I totally would have got one of those Halloween costumes because you know who'd love that? Chris Earle.
Chris Earle
would have been all over that and would have loved me forever if I'd gotten him one. And by the way, I would have worn that as a costume. So there you go. Where's your
head at? And now to close things out here on The Big Picture, we have our thing that happened, which is the craziest, weirdest, most peculiar story we could gather from last week.
All right. I've got to call you out on this because you've been doing it every single week.
What, making my weird voice?
That's a thing that happened.
That's a thing that happened?
That's the name of the segment.
You always, whenever you email me, you say thing that happened.
Yeah, I know, but that's shorthand. It's called that's a thing that happened.
So you expect me to assume that I know what it is.
I know. No, I'm setting the record straight on this so that it's that's a thing that happened.
That's a thing that happened.
You need my awkward word construction to set it up properly.
Skiddly doo bop, ski bop a doo. Well, as usual, great things happening in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
According to police, an argument over a beer outside of a Daytona Beach Popeyes restaurant ended with one man dead and another in jail. James Allen, 34, was arrested on October 20th for aggravated battery after he reportedly attacked 55-year-old John Roten outside the chicken restaurant. However, Allen's charge was increased to second-degree murder yesterday after Roten died from his injuries. Allen admitted to police that he punched Roten in the face during an argument about a beer that he believed he had taken from him. Roten fell to the ground and his head bounced off the pavement, and he was unconscious, had a large deep cut in the back of his head. Though he underwent surgery at the hospital to relieve the pressure on his brain, after the surgery, he was in a vegetative state, and his family ultimately requested he'd be removed from life support. Someone's going to tell this guy, like, you can get a single beer for, like, $1.50.
Do they sell Lucy? Are those Lucy's? Is that the beer equivalent of Lucy?
I was about to say a Lucy, but yeah. I don't know if you call it a Lucy when it's a beer.
I think that is a Lucy.
Yeah. A Lucy? I mean, I always think of that as cigarettes, but hey, the same concept. Breaking the pack.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad, but I feel like stories like this always come out of Florida where like, she stole my taco. Yeah. Like, it's always something ridiculous like that. A beer I could at least legitimize a little more, but still. And who drinks beer outside of Popeyes? At least a Wendy's.
You know what they got just north of Florida? Georgia.
This is true.
Residents in a Gwinnett County neighborhood thought local youths were on a crime spree, vandalizing cars, after more than 24 people reported smashed side view mirrors on their vehicles. Police added patrols looking for the culprits, which they suspected were kids with rocks or BB guns. Then John Hancock caught the culprit in the act. Yes, his name is John Hancock.
I was going to say, are you editorializing here?
A woodpecker the size of a crow was landing on cars, seeing its reflection and attacking it. Residents have now taken to putting bags over their side view mirrors to keep the territorial bird at bay.
Someone has to capture that and make it the most badass pet ever because, oh my goodness, that wet woodpecker's awesome.
And this woodpecker had smashed about 24 side view mirrors by the time they caught onto it. And of course,
it's like when my dog tries to run through the glass door because she thinks that it's clear. Or barks at herself in the mirror.
And of course, what's the default reaction? The default in all of this. It's the Utes. You always got to blame. We learned that from Tom and Eno. It's the Utes.
Well, to be fair, it could be a youthful woodpecker.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
But it's generally the Utes.
The Utes.
We're blaming the Utes. So give another plug for the show. You're going to be at Nick's, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Nick's Comedy Stop this weekend. Lamont Price is headlining. He is
super funny.
It's just so funny.
Great.
And one of those, like, just, you could just listen to him keep going and going and going. It's door 7 o'clock, shows at 8 o'clock. It's right on Warrington Street, the same street they do Blue Man Group on. Do not confuse us. It drives us crazy. But, I'm going to be working the door too. I'm filling in. So.
Nice.
So you can come and say, hey, Shay, you are as tall as